When we look at Revelation chapter number 5, we do remember that the church age has ended and the church has been raptured home. And we believe that John saw a great throne there and one sitting on the throne, which was God himself. We believe that the 24 elders that are gathered around the throne are representative of the redeemed of all ages. We believe it represents the 12 tribes of Israel in the Old Testament economy. And we believe that it represents the 12 apostles in the New Testament economy. 24 elders are all the way around the throne praising God. The Bible says that they're sitting now, so they're at rest. They have upon themselves white robes, so they've already been wed. They've been married. That's the marriage garment to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as the bride of Christ, the church is. And they've been crowned, which I believe represents the very judgment seat of Christ, where there are at least 5 crowns that we studied last week that can be given out at this judgment seat of Christ. We met 4 beasts which were flying around the throne, crying out, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," which was and is to come. And when they break forth doing that, the 24 elders get up off their seats and fall down on their knees and throw their crowns down at Jesus' feet and begin to worship Jesus Christ because he's worthy to receive glory and honor and power. We pick up the story in chapter number 5 as this heavenly scene, this worship continues. We see first of all a vision, verse 1. "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals." I looked the word up for book. It is the word biblion. It means a scroll or something that is rolled up, and it would have been sealed, 7 different seals on this book. And the Bible says that this book was written within and without, meaning it is written on the inside and on the outside. I believe that there's no room for you to add anything else to this book. It's written completely. He said there in the book of Revelation, he said that you should not add to his word and you should not take away from his word. Do you remember in the book of Exodus when he wrote the 10 commandments? The 10 commandments were written in stone, and the Bible said it was the finger writing of God. The Bible says that those stones were written on the front side and on the back side. They were written entirely and completely, so nobody could go chisel something else on it and say, "Well, this is a new law. This is a new rule." Here in the hand of God is a book that is written within and without. If you could imagine for a second this book that is rolled up. A king would take a scroll and he would begin to write on it. When he is finished, he would roll it up and he would take his ring and imprint that into wax and put that wax on the edge of that rolled up scroll, thus sealing it. Realize that if the king wants to write again, he writes a new leaf that surrounds the first one. This book has 7 seals upon it. Every time in chapter 6 that one of these seals are broken and loosed, we see a new judgment from God as something that's going to be happening. What is this book? What does it represent? I believe that this book is the title deed to planet Earth. In the hand of God Almighty is a title deed. Now, underneath the Old Testament economy, if someone got in debt to someone else, the way they could get that back out of debt was that they would have their kinsman redeemer go and pay for it and get it back. Do you understand that this earth was created by God and was given to mankind? He said in the book of Genesis that the man and the woman, they were given dominion over all creation. So the earth was given to them and they were given dominion over all the earth. Is that clear? But then they sinned. And when they sinned, they forfeited this title deed of the earth over to the devil. And therefore sin and Satan and darkness seems to reign upon this earth. Or at least he has a lot of power.
Because the Bible says that in the book of 2 Corinthians that he is the God of this world. In fact, you remember when Jesus went out into the wilderness and he was there for 40 days and 40 nights? You remember what the devil said to him in the book of Matthew? He said to him, he took Jesus up to an exceeding high mountain and he showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. You see, the earth originally belonged to God. He gave Adam and Eve dominion over it. They fumbled it in sin, and now the devil has control. When we are in heaven, praising the Lamb of God, blessing the name of God Almighty Himself, we're going to look, John says, and I beheld in the right hand, that's the place of authority, of him that sat on the throne, a book with seven seals. I believe that is the title deed to this earth. Then we see a search being made. The angel said, who is worthy to open the book? Worthy means who is deserving. Who is the one that has the right to open the book? Has to be a kinsman redeemer. I believe that it has to be our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the only one that is going to be able to stand worthy. The Bible says in verse number 3, and no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. We've seen a seven-sealed book. We have had a search of all the world and all of heaven to find someone worthy. And the Bible said there was no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth that was able. So I believe silence has fallen all throughout heaven. No man in heaven. Do you realize who's going to be in heaven at this point in time? Abraham is there, but he's not worthy. Moses, who gave the law, is there, but he is not worthy. David, the great king, is there, but he is not worthy. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, is there, but he is not worthy. There are more than these men in heaven. There are great men of God, like Spurgeon, but he is not worthy to take the book and open it. There are men like D.L. Moody, men like Percy Ray, Dr. J. Harold Smith, and Charles Finney. Men of God got on before us who preached the gospel to thousands, and thousands were saved. But in all of heaven, there was not one man that was found worthy to open the book. And so they extended the search from heaven to the earth. No king or queen, no power, no president, no politician dared to even open his mouth because they were not worthy. They extended the search a little further. The Bible says they went to under the earth, into the region of the damned, where all the evil tyrants from years gone by are now living. But yet they did not let out one whimper, because in the region of the damned, not one was found that was worthy. No, not Satan himself. Not the God of this world. He is not worthy to take the title deed of this earth and open up these seals. Verse 4, John says, and I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. John began to weep. Why? Well, I believe now there's some sadness. He says, nobody's found worthy. Now understand, the angel did not ask who is willing to take the book. In the region of the damned, Napoleon might have jumped up. In the region of the damned, Hitler or Stalin might have jumped up and said, we're willing to take the book. Let it be known that Alexander the Great, Osama bin Laden, amen, Saddam Hussein, might have been willing to take the power of this earth and to corrupt it and kill thousands and millions. They may be willing, but praise God, they are not worthy to take the book out of the hand of God Himself, who holds the title deed. There has not been one that's found worthy. And John's heart is broken. Why is it broken? Because it looks like sin is going to continue to reign on earth. That even though we're in heaven, the devil will continue to have power. It looks like he will have power to continue to tear up homes and to break hearts and tear up little children's life. It looks like the devil's going to have free reign to rule and to roam upon this earth. And John said, oh no, it cannot continue. The devil having power upon this earth, tearing homes apart, upsetting things the way he is. Oh God, please, is there not somebody that's worthy to take the book? And he begins to cry, said, oh no, what on earth are we going to do? It is a scene that is filled with sadness. It is a scene that is filled with desperation as they're looking all around to find someone who's worthy to take this book and reclaim it. See, being the title deed of the earth, if he could reclaim it, peace would come again. Verse number 5, we begin to hear the voice. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. He said, John, just stop crying. It's going to be all right. Don't you know? He said, just dry up your tears. How come? Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. To prevail means to conquer. To prevail means to overcome. Hey, who's worthy? Hey, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he is worthy. The Root of David, he is worthy. Well, this sparked hope in John's heart. I believe John, knowing the scriptures, realized the prophecy about the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Genesis chapter 49 and verse number 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. You realize that the Lion is the king. When he hears about the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he realized that he is the Messiah. That must be the Messiah. That must be the king. Not just any king. He is the King of Kings. As the Root of David, God had promised David that he would set him and establish him a house forever and ever and ever. And guess what? The Messiah must be of royal lineage. It looks like the ancestry of David was almost cut off because of his great sin with Bathsheba. And it looked like the devil was going to rule and terrorize people forever. But praise God, there was one that came from David's offspring. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he has a royal lineage. Hey, through the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he is the righteous ruler. And through the Root of David, he is the royal ruler. As the righteous ruler, he is King of Kings. As the royal ruler, he is Lord of Lords. When John hears, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Root of David hath prevailed. Immediately he knew, this one is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And can you imagine John, as he's burdened, as it looks like the devil's going to have free reign. When he hears that good news, he jumps up off his knees. He begins to dry his eyes. And he looked to behold the Lion. He looked to behold the Root of David. And when he looked, the Bible says in verse number 6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain. What about that? He was looking for the Lion, and he saw the lamb. Woo! This lamb having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. Hey, the Bible says that this lamb was the one that had been slain. That word is one that represents a word that means he was butchered. He was slaughtered. In other words, when he saw this lamb, This lamb had the marks or the wounds of death. He had been butchered. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. He took upon himself my sins and your sins. Amen. He went up Calvary's mountain and he gave his life's blood that you and I might be saved. When he sees this one, this lamb is a standing lamb. He's not dead anymore. He stands alive. He, I believe, is the redeeming lamb. He's the one saved me. He's the one saved this one tonight. He's the one saved that one this morning. Amen. He is the redeeming lamb. He's the resurrected lamb. Hallelujah. They took him and laid him in a lowly grave and rolled a stone in front of it, washed their hands of it and said, that's the end of that lamb. But praise God, on the first day of the week, up from the grave he arose, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He has prevailed, church. He has conquered. He has overcome. When he stood up, he said, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Woo! Praise God for the lamb that's alive. The Bible says this lamb has seven horns. Horns are a symbol of power. Seven's the perfect number. He is the all-powerful one. He is Jesus Christ, God omnipotent, all-powerful. The Bible says this lamb has seven eyes. He is all-seeing. He is all-knowing. It might be said that as Jesus the lamb, he is the omniscient one. He not only had that, but he had the seven spirits of God. What does that mean? That means he can be everywhere. Amen. He is the omnipresent one. He is God omnipotent, God omniscient, glory to God, and God omnipresent, King of kings and Lord of lords. And there he stands before John, looking for a lion and beholding the lamb. Bless his holy name. Now I want you to see verse number 7. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. All of heaven had been searched. The earth had been searched. Under the earth had been searched. But there stood the Lamb. You know what John the Baptist said about him? Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Everyone is looking towards him. And without hesitation, without reluctance, he walks right up to the throne of God the Father and takes the book right out of his hands. You know what he's saying? The time has come to take back what belongs to me. As the lamb, we see his first coming. But as the lion, we see him in his second coming. As the lamb, we see him in meekness. But as the lion, we see him in majesty. As the lamb, we know him as Savior. But as the lion, we know him as sovereign. As the lamb, he was judged on Calvary's tree. But as the lion, he is the judge of all the world. As the lamb, we see the grace of God. But as the lion, he is the ultimate government of Almighty God. And he says, I'm going to reclaim that which is rightfully mine. Have you ever read in the scripture where that all creation groans, waiting for the day that Jesus steps out and takes the book from the right hand of God the Father, that things might be peaceful once more? Hallelujah. Hey, when this happens, we see thirdly, the victory. We've seen the vision. We've heard the voice. Let's watch the victory. Verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. These 24 elders represent the redeemed of all ages. The Bible said they've got harps. Harps always represent praise. Amen. Guess what? Represents worship. And then they take these golden vials, which are the prayers of the saints. I believe these are not just prayers that we offered to say, God, would you answer them? I believe they are the ones that he's answered. Now, you just get a hold of that for just a minute. You know what it does for you when you give God a prayer request and he answers it? Woo-hoo, woo. Man, you just ain't got enough time to thank him. You ain't got enough ability in your body to thank him. But boy, you just know what it does for you. One day, all the prayers that he's answered, we're going to lay at his feet. Those golden vials of answered prayers and those harps of praise will be laid before the Lamb. Has he ever answered a prayer for you? I'm having a fit right now. Oh, preacher, I don't know if you've ever answered a prayer for me. Well, I got one that he answered when you asked him to save you. Woo! He answered that, amen, and saved your sin-sick soul. That'll do. Boy, there's been all kinds of prayers, amen, that our God has answered, and we're going to be able to lay them down at his feet. And watch this in verse number 9. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Hey, the lyrics consist of how he died for us, how they buried him, how he rose again, how he redeemed us. You know what we're going to sing about when we get to heaven? I need an amen right here. We're going to be singing about the blood. Amen. Preacher, I thought them old blood songs was dead. I thought them old blood songs was over. I don't like them old blood songs they sing down there at the church. They bother me. They hinder me. I don't like that old gory mess about the blood. Hey, when we get there, we're going to sing a song about he's worthy and blessing his name for the blood. Woo! What a song. And it don't stop there. It don't just talk about what he's done for us, but then we start singing about what he's made us. And has made us, verse 10, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. What has he done for us? He saved us. What has he made us? Kings and priests to God. That's what he's done for us. But he's redeemed us and made us kings and priests. Praise the Lord. Well, do you understand in verses 8, 9, and 10, when those elders, which represents us, began to worship, that is personal worship. But it don't stop there. In verse number 11, it goes into universal worship. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. John says, I heard voices as we were worshiping God. I heard voices. And the voices that I heard were angels around the throne. Now it doesn't say they're singing. No, they can't sing about the blood. The redeemed. The church can sing about the blood of Jesus Christ. So the angel voices, they're not singing. They're just offering a tribute. Amen. In word. The voice of many angels. And there's the elders, which is the redeemed. And there's the beast, which flying around the throne said, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come, over and over and over again. And how many's in heaven? John said, let me tell you, 10,000 times 10,000. Now, he's not just talking about the angels. He's talking about the elders. He's talking about the redeemed. How many people are there? You know what 10,000 times 10,000 is? 100 million. Plus thousands and thousands. You go get your calculator and figure that out, devil, amen. Woo! There's a crowd that's gathered in heaven. Verse 12. The angels are not singing. The song must have finished for the moment. And in verse 12, they begin to say with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power." Number one. Number two, and riches. Number three, and wisdom. Number four, and strength. Number five, and honor. Number six, and glory. Number seven, and blessing. It is a sevenfold tribute to the Lamb of God. What a time. Verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the sea and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. This worship that was personal went universal. It went to where? Every creature in heaven. Where? Every creature on earth. Every creature under the earth. In the regions of the damned. We know the scripture says that one day, according to Philippians chapter 2, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords. Amen. To the glory of God the Father. They're even going to say more than that, evidently. They're going to say blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever and ever. If they're going to say all that in the region of the damned, there ain't no atheists in hell. Because in hell, one day, they'll believe. But it'll be too late. And they'll be sent off forever and ever and ever. Let us close with verse number 14. This personal worship that went universal is eternal. And the four beasts said, amen. They liked what was said by all these. Hey, those four beasts have been saying all this time, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when all the universe says to God, blessing and honor and all that, they're going to say, amen. That means so let it be. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever and ever. For all of eternity, we will worship and praise Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. Because he alone is worthy. So you go tell the devil, just when it looks like he's getting ready to take over, we're going to trust God with the outcome. And we've read the book. Amen. And we know how it's going to turn out. Amen.